What do you want?
You're not recording.
No, we're not recording. We're about to record. Oh, we have a visitor.
Hello.
Hello.
I was just seeing when you were going to be done, but if you haven't even started, then it'll be a while.
At least an hour.
Like 45 minutes.
9 o'clock.
Well, I'm not going to exercise.
9 o'clock? Hell no, man. I'm hungry.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome, Caps fans! How's it going? Are you sticking with us through the end of the regular season? Welcome to What the Puck? It's a Washington Capitals podcast! Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me, as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling a little bit better than I guess the Capitals are. They have me a little worried, man. This is we were talking before the show. I think this is probably the worst week the Capitals have had the entire season.
Yeah. It's been pretty ugly. It hasn't been a pretty week. They went 1-2-1. They had a good win over Colorado, and you're like, all right, here we go. They're doing well. They're starting to turn it around. They're ready for the playoffs, and then they go and completely crap the bed against Arizona. They have an overtime loss to the Islanders, which is pretty embarrassing, and all that was preceded by a shootout loss to the Flyers. It has not been a great week.
Here's the thing that has been worrying me for the last like month or two. The Capitals, they've been sitting pretty, you know. They got all the hard work done early on. They really have not had a lot to do these last couple months. But this is worrisome that they're doing really well against teams that aren't very good.
Now, see, a couple of years ago, you and I would have been like, yeah, that's what we need. We'll beat the teams we need to beat. Now it's time to beat the big boys. Now we are the big boys, and we're not playing very well lately.
No.
And I don't think it's a lack of motivation anymore. I think it's a lack of consistency. Because if you go and you look at the game against the Islanders, they were whooping them in that first period. They dominated that first period. The Islanders looked like they were getting the you-know-what beaten out of them. And in the second period, there was just a lack of awareness and a lack of not just consistency, but like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Where you're struggling to maintain your focus. Maybe it was just focus, but I feel like there's a better word to use here than that. But they lacked focus, and they just kept going, and they're like, oh, that guy's behind me. Oh, he scored. Well, darn. What do we do now? And then they lost the game, and they lost the opportunity for Holpe to tie Brodeur's record. But it was a situation where they came out great, and then they're just like, oh, look at the butterfly, and then someone scored. And that was not a Walking Dead reference intentionally, but that kind of worked in
look
nicely.
The flowers.
But, oh, damn it. What's the butterfly? Oh, that's I Am Legend. Sorry.
Terrible
that was a good
movie. Terrible movie.
Oh, no. Good movie until the end.
Terrible.
We can talk about that later, okay? But there's an alternate ending. Okay, everybody out there, go on YouTube, look for the alternate ending. Makes that movie so much better.
Right.
Anyways.
No, here's what you do with I Am Legend. You don't download it on iTunes. You rent something good, and you watch that instead.
That was mean. This show went off the rails really quickly this week.
Oh, well.
No, but I think that they lose their focus. They're the dog from Up. They're playing the game, and they score. And they look the other way, and they're like, oh, no, they scored a goal. And the thing I thought was interesting is that Holpe took the blame for the Islanders' second goal, and he felt like that's where the game turned around, and the Islanders really were ready to go. Now, let's give the Islanders credit. They're fighting for a playoff spot. They really wanted that game, and they were probably embarrassed after that just ridiculously pathetic first period on their part. And so, to some extent, the Caps are playing these teams that are just fighting for their opportunity to continue playing after this weekend. And so the problem that we're seeing is the lack of sort
drive.
Of up in their gears and the lack of consistency by the Capitals. And the fact that when we get to the playoffs, like we've been saying, and teams have said before, you can't just flick a switch. You're not just going to turn it on and be ready to go. And so for them to just think that like they're going to go into whenever that first game is, whether it's on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and just be like, all right, game on, guys, let's do this thing. It's not going to work that way. And you're playing as teams that have been playing pretty much similar to playoff hockey for the last couple of weeks.
I mean, there are certain aspects that are good and bad with that situation because, you know, if you are against the eighth seed, they've been fighting really hard to get to that spot. So maybe the team is a little tired, more tired than the Capitals are at this point in the season. So, I mean, that works in the Caps' favor. But at the same time, you also have a team that's been fighting really hard to get into the playoffs. They're not just going to throw away that playoff chance by being like, yeah, we got in. All right, now let's just chill because that was really hard and I'm tired. They're not going to do that. It's going to be a team that's going to be fighting tooth and nail because that's what they've done for the last couple of weeks. Maybe even, you know, ever since the All-Star break, they've been fighting like that. Right now, the Islanders game, that should have been an easy, not easy. That should have been a pretty solid win for the team.
Nothing's ever easy in the NHL.
No, it should have been a solid win for this team. It was a rookie goalie who has, I think they said, 30 minutes of NHL experience before this game.
It may have actually been less than that.
Maybe it was 20 minutes. So, I mean,
it was like he's been in the NHL for 12 seconds.
We found this guy on the street.
Good luck!
But, like, he was rattled. He was definitely nervous in the first period, and you could tell.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why the Caps didn't really take advantage of that. They really should have been able to skate circles around this guy because he was jittery. You know, he was jumpy a little bit. And then they get a two-goal lead. They get a three, you know, they're up 3-1, and they just took their foot off the pedal, and they just kind of went on defense and didn't really care. And then the Islanders were able to come back and beat them in overtime. It was lazy. That's what it was.
It was not good.
No, not at all. And the Caps are being found to be really lazy, especially this week. They did not look good in Arizona. The Coyotes wiped the floor with them. The Caps are getting complacent. We've seen this in the past. I'm going to be honest. I think the Capitals, on paper, everything should work in their favor in the playoffs. They look great. They've got great. They've got great players. Backstrom's hurt right now, but we're expecting him to be back for the playoffs. Carlson's back. The team should be solid. But when they get in this mindset, I get worried because this is the type of stuff that has hurt the Capitals in the past. It has killed their chances to go far in the playoffs. And the Caps have a history of melting down and not getting past the second round. People are already writing about it. NBC Sports, Puck
it's
Daddy.
It's already an expectation.
Yeah, they're already being like, all right, the Capitals dominated. They should have won, just like in 2010. But, they're not looking that good. Are we going to see them out of the first round again? Right now, I know people are like jumping off the ledge and being like, it's all over. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is I'm concerned. I'm worried because I've seen this before from the Capitals.
Well, I think you have every right to be worried because, like you said, we have seen this before from the team where they just – it is – to some extent, this is very similar to when they got beat by the Canadians in the playoffs.
Very much so.
Where they played just freaking dominating everybody, and they got to the playoffs, and they're like, all right, we're going to do great. And they didn't do great. And things just went incredibly poorly. And you see these situations happen where they're just unable to stay focused. Now, the team is not the same as it was during that time. They have a proven NHL coach. And that isn't to say that Boudreau was not a proven NHL coach. But this is a guy who is clearly able to motivate this team better than Boudreau was.
100%.
This is a guy. You have a veteran players in Justin Williams who, I mean, his freaking nickname is Mr. Game 7. So he probably knows what he's doing at least a little bit in the playoffs. You have to get to that Game 7 for him to be effective. But actually, I don't know if that's true. But the point is, they have guys that have been around. They have Orpik now. They have Niskanen. These guys who have won a cup before, unfortunately, with the Penguins.
You got Mike Richards, too. What? He's a two-time cup winner, right, with the Kings?
Yes. Yeah, he has won twice with the Kings. So they have these veterans that have been there before. But they've got to be able to get these guys that have been around for a long time. You've got to get Ovechkin playing well in the playoffs. And he's ramping it up. We could talk how the Caps have been playing well, but Ovechkin's been on fire. He's all over the place in that game against the Islanders. It was just unfortunate that he wasn't able to all over the place to put the puck in there. But you've got guys that are being able to back up these young guns, but you need – well, not young anymore. You need Backstrom to step up. You need Johansson to step up. You're going to need Kuznetsov and Burakovsky to step up because you can't expect the veterans. You can't expect the guys who have been in the playoffs before, Williams and Orpik and Niskanen and Richards, to do all the work. Everyone else has got to do some great work too. And who was it? I can't remember which game it was, but where Beagle scored that one where he just kind of like shoved it in from behind the net. Which game was that?
I think it was Colorado.
Colorado?
I'm pretty sure it was Colorado.
That's what you need. from these guys. You need the guys that are going to be like, well, you get out of my way and just go and just shove it. Like, get the hell out of my way. The puck's going in the net. You need guys to be able to do that in the playoffs. And that they've got to continue to play. They've got to play strong, smart hockey and not let other teams beat them by getting in their heads. And that's why I don't want to face the Flyers.
I don't want to face the Flyers either. You could definitely tell in that game last week, the Flyers were able to get into the Caps' heads. We saw the same thing up against the Penguins, and it worked in the Penguins' favor. They were able to get into the Caps' head. They got them frustrated, got them to lack of focus from the Capitals. And I feel as if we haven't been the same since that game. But let's talk about the Flyers-Caps game that happened last Wednesday. I know it was a long time ago, guys, but I do want to bring it up. It's a good chance that's what we're going to see next week. I mean, it's still up in the air, but there's a chance that that's what we're going to see. Flyers,
yeah, pretty good chance.
Flyers are mean. they get down and dirty. I mean, how many times are we going to see Claude Giroux knock a stick out of Backstrom or Johansson's hands, you know, doing a slap?
How did none of those get called? What the hell?
He did it multiple times, and it was really annoying. But that's the type of game they play. They're going to get – you know, it's that fast and furious thing. Doesn't matter whether you win by an inch or a mile, winning's still winning. The Flyers are going to win as dirty and as much as they can. The Caps, I feel as if they're still going after those pretty goals. They want it to be, you know, tic-tac-toe type of thing, and that's not always going to work, especially in the playoffs.
I don't know, that third one against the Islanders is pretty damn nice.
Yeah, I mean, no, they're great, but I'm saying, like, that can't be the only thing. You brought that up with the Colorado goal. You know, it's got to be everything at the same time. It's got to be dirty goals, it's got to be good goals. But if the Flyers are going to be the team we see in the first round, they've already gotten to the Caps' heads, even though Holtby looked friggin' amazing in that Flyers game. They've gotten to the Caps' heads, and they get them off their game, off of being focused on winning. That's what I'm worried about if we face the Flyers, because they know what to do. They know how to be those agitators, just like the Penguins are.
That'd be a bunch of dicks.
Yes.
That's the problem. Is they are a bunch. I don't want to see the Flyers. I really don't. The thing that concerns me about the Flyers is that if you beat them, because they are notoriously known for being a team that's going to cheap shot you and just take as many little things to piss you off and potentially injure your players, that if you make it past them, your team is pretty beat up going into the next round. I'd rather see the Flyers beat up somebody else and then the Caps go and face that team.
Yes.
Just to make it easy. But if they got up, they have. I know they went – the season series was 2-0-2 against the Flyers, so it's not great, but it's not the end of the world. I certainly think that they can get through – they could beat the Flyers in a 7-game series, but it definitely would take a lot out of them going forward. But that's not necessarily the case as to who they're going to play. I mean, there's definitely an opportunity. You and I are both a little confused. We were talking before we started recording, but we're a little confused as to how the NHL standings work in terms of the playoff scenarios. Now, as I understand it, when they switched to the new conferences and standings in the Metropolitan, which is still a stupid name, that they went with, you have to basically get out of your division first, unless there's five teams from one division and then three from the other, and then one team has to like go over and play, get out of the other division or some nonsense like that. I don't know that's still the case. I feel like I read that isn't necessarily the case anymore, but it looks like it's either going to be Philly or Boston. There's a chance it could be the Red Wings as well, but it's going to be one of those three the Caps are up against. It's going to be interesting. Honestly, of those three, I'd rather play the Bruins.
I mean,
there's a slim chance, an incredibly slim chance it could be the Islanders. But basically, Philly would have to win out, and the Islanders have to lose out for that to happen.
Yeah, I think after last night and the Islanders being able to get 2 points, I don't think there's any way they can go after them.
If the Islanders lose every game, because the Islanders have 2 games left, so they stay at 97. The Islanders have 3 games left, so they're at 91. They would tie them? I don't know if they have a tiebreaker. But either way, there's the possibility. It's not going to happen. No. But the possibility is there.
It is there.
But it's not, like I said, it's not going to happen. That doesn't mean we're playing the Flyers. If the Flyers lose out and Detroit or Boston wins, then it's potentially the Bruins or the Red Wings.
I would rather face the Bruins. I really would. They have not looked very good this year. You know,
where do we take on the Islanders if you have to get out of your division?
See, the Islanders is going to be rough because if we saw what we saw in the last game, they are targeting, like, every single player goes after Tom Wilson.
Good, because that means that Wilson's in their head.
the Wilson's like dismantled that entire team. He's on the ice. That's all they care about. They don't even like look at the puck anymore. They go after Tom Wilson.
No, they want to go after Tom Wilson. Hate that guy. He's mean to us. He said mean things about our parents. Like, no. But that's fine. I don't mind getting in the players' heads. And this is definitely a different Caps team that faced the Flyers that so many years ago when the Caps first made the playoffs, coming out of the new era. And it was – this is a team that certainly has an opportunity to do something, but they've got to up their game.
They have a perfect chance to do that coming up. We got three really good teams coming in. Penguins, Blues, and Ducks. Those are all playoff teams. Those are all teams that potentially at some – well, all the way to the end would be the Blues or the Ducks potentially, but there's a good chance, you know, you run into the Penguins in the second round, maybe even third round. I don't know how, where they're sitting right now, but who knows? I mean, this is good practice for the Capitals to show that you can have a level head. You focus on what's at hand. You get the puck in the net. You don't worry about all the other stuff going around. And the big thing, too, since it's still the regular season, is to help Braden Holtby get that Martin Brodeur record. I don't think he's going to beat it. As much as I want him to, I don't think he's going to beat it, but there's a good chance he could at least tie.
I'll take a tie at this point.
Because, look, there's three games left. Two of the games are back-to-back, so there's a good chance Holtby is not playing one of the three games.
All right, so they got three left. You got Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Which game do you play him in?
I play him. I do.
Which games, perhaps?
Penguins, Blues, and don't play him against the Ducks.
So you let him rest that last game?
Yeah.
Okay, but if they don't play again until Wednesday or Thursday, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 days off.
He'll be hungry to get back into that on that ice.
Yeah, or he'll be really rusty. I was like, the heck is the word I'm looking for? He could be really rusty. See, I play him.
Do you play him all three?
I'm tempted. No. Because I think you run the risk of potentially overusing him or getting an injury. The thing is, the West is pretty much locked up. Right now, it's just people jostling for position. So your games against St. Louis and Anaheim should not be filled with that much animosity. But the Penguins game, you know, you're potentially sending a message to a team you may see later on in the playoffs. So, I don't know. I mean, I would almost want to rest him. I want him to play in the Anaheim game. I would say if you're only going to play him two, you play him Penguins, Ducks, and rest him in St. Louis. But I definitely think he needs to play the Anaheim game.
Interesting.
I think he needs to play going into the playoffs. I think Anaheim's going to be worried about getting guys getting hurt. The Caps will be worried about guys getting hurt. And everybody's going to be like, all right, you be nice. We'll be nice. We'll just shoot from our ends of the ice. All right? That's all we're going to do. I mean, rhyme. That's what we're going to do.
That Sunday game, literally, that means absolutely nothing, right? Because can anybody get the Ducks at this point? Yes, they can.
I think
they're 99 points.
But at that point, it'll be like they're going to – well, there's either they're going to win and have the chance or they'll lose and stay where they are. It may not make a difference at that point. So we'll see.
Whew.
I think you definitely play him that game.
All right. Well, anything else we should cover in Caps world? Playoffs coming up, man. That's what we're all looking at. But we got three games ahead of us. It's hard to focus on those.
Well, Orlov's been playing better after you and I ripped into him last week. So you're welcome, Caps fans. Thanks to our great job of talking crap about him over the internet, he has suddenly become a much better hockey player.
Don't make us trolls. We have a
podcast. Well, it worked with Joel Ward. Was that me? I used to crap on Joel Ward and he started playing better. And then I was crapping on Chimera and he started playing better. You're welcome, internet. Now he played better. He didn't bench him though. He didn't sit out in the press box. So I was a little surprised.
I was too.
But he's playing better. So that's good. The defense just didn't play real great for the Islanders goals the other night. So that was awesome. And Backstrom has been out with an upper body injury. He's missed the last three games. He hasn't played since the game against Philly, and they're not going to play him until he's fully healthy or the playoffs, I'm guessing. Nobody said that, but that would be my guess.
Yeah.
Is that my guess is they want to get him a game or two before the playoffs. So maybe he doesn't play against the Penguins, and then he plays against the St. Louis and Anaheim, and he'll play those games. Or maybe even the Penguins, and then take St. Louis off and then play Anaheim. Sort of similar thing to Holtby, so that he's ready to go for the playoffs.
I think it all happened in that Flyers game. I think something happened.
Yeah, I think that's what they're saying, the injury was there.
Absolutely, because it's...
Damn, you Flyers. You've done it again!
All right.
Yeah, but so he should be back. I think he's been skating. He'll be okay. They're just kind of resting and playing, being cautious, because if they were fighting for a playoff spot, that's different. I think he plays. But because they're not, there's right. no need to rush him back.
I agree with him. I say, you know, even if he is feeling good, let him rest till the playoffs.
You know? Well, you got to play him a little bit so he gets his timing back and all that sort of stuff. He's got to be ready to go come that first game.
Ugh, all right. Well, if that's it for what's going on in Caps World, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Down on the Farm. But first, here is a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. This is Down on the Farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 1-1-1 with a shootout win over Providence, a regulation loss to Hartford, and an overtime loss to Providence. The Bears are currently 39-19-12, good for 90 points, which puts them first in the Atlantic Division, and they have now clinched a spot in the Calder Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
So all three teams within the organization go into the playoffs.
That's right.
Bears will be back at it on Friday at the Giants Center against Bridgeport, Saturday at home against Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and Sunday in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1 with wins over Atlanta and Orlando and a loss to Orlando. The team is currently 41-18-10, good for 92 points, which puts them first in the South Division. The Stingrays are back at it as we speak against Atlanta. Then they play Friday and Saturday in Norfolk. So it's actually not too far from the D.C. area, a little farther for you up there in Baltimore, Brandon.
4 hours.
But if you want to go check out Vitek Vanacek and the rest of the Stingrays, you can head down to Norfolk this weekend. In other Stingrays news, rookie goalie Vitek Vanacek is racking up the awards, earning the Warrior ECHL Goalie of the Month for the month of March. Vanacek went 6-0-1 with a 1.27 GAA and a .949 save percentage while getting two shutouts. Those numbers are ridiculous. Let's stick with Mr. Vanacek as he was named to the ECHL All-Rookie Team. This kid, who I thought was not that great at rookie camp last July, has told me to shut the hell up because he's playing very well and certainly is going to give this team some thought as to where he will be playing next season. Not with the Capitals. Calm down, Brandon. He might be in Hershey, depending on what they decide to do with Dan Ellis and your boy, Justin Peters. But yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
Is that? I think that's his fifth goaltender of the week slash month award for this season.
That is third. I was reading it's his third award
for month though. I think he's gotten 2 weeks in there too. So I think
maybe.
Yeah, I think combined
third of the year.
I don't maybe. I'm pretty sure it's five. But man, that's crazy.
He's doing well.
How well he's doing. I mean, it's the ECHL level. We're not going to compare him to Holpe or anything like that. But
no, Vanacek earns league honors for third time this season after stellar month of March. I think this is his first Warrior Hockey ECHL goaltender of the month. But I like how we were talking about this before. But all of their awards are sponsored.
That's what we should do for our What the Puckies at the end of the year.
We'll sponsor all of them.
Yeah, we were like, this is the Dunkin' Donuts Jaromir Jagr.
Oh God, screw that guy. And his stupid Florida Panthers. Yeah, Vanacek. I think he's got a shot to be in Hershey next year, depending on what they do with Peters and Ellis.
I liked it last year, if you remember.
Who are both free agents after the season? Well, I think so.
Yeah. I would like to see next year happen. If you remember this last year, they needed a backup goaltender because I think either like Holpe or Grubauer was sick for a day. So they brought up the backup to Hershey, and that was Phoenix Copley at the time. And he didn't play. He just sat on the bench, but they brought him up just for like a Saturday game last season. I think that'd be That would be great to have Vitek Vanacek come up and be the goaltender backup just for like a day, just so he gets like a Caps jersey or something.
Like, if they go out to St. Louis and they don't want to fly out Holpe, and they're like, hey, Vanacek, hop a plane.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
go
I'm
hop
about.
A plane out of Charleston. You're going to St. Louis. Oh, cool. All right. I'm going to go sit on the bench. Then Grubauer goes down. And he's like, crap, I have to play? Guys, this is not part of the deal. I just want to watch.
Oh, man.
No, right. I think this kid's definitely got a shot at being in the AHL next season.
If he is, I'm definitely doing a Hershey trip. I'm still expecting him to be at rookie camp next July.
He could. July, I mean, yeah. Why not?
Liam O'Brien was there this past July, and he played with the Capitals for like 2 months.
That's your boy.
Yeah. All right. Well, if that's it, hey, I want to ask you something else. You said that right now the Bears are number one in the Atlantic Division, correct?
Is it Atlantic or East? I always get this mixed up. Atlantic, I believe, is what it's called. Yeah, okay. Why?
And then the Stingrays are number one in the Southeast. That's what you said, right?
South Division.
South Division.
But yes.
So all three teams are not only in the playoffs, but all three teams are number one right now.
See, but now you just jinx it because they're not like the Caps are locked in. They've won their division. Hershey has not. They still have a couple, like six games left. And they only have, they're 3 points up on Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And I think the Stingrays are 2 points or 4 points up. So don't jinx them, Brandon.
I won't, but I just think it's cool that all of them are number one right now. Rude. We're number one. We're number one.
Yeah, number one of the regular season. Woo!
All right. That's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around.
Go
Vanacek. Yeah, go that guy. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, here we go. We are going around the NHL. The regular season is almost over. The NHL is staying busy. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL? Who's been concussed? Who's gotten in trouble? What's going on?
This season really did go by very fast.
It did.
Like, holy crap. I looked at the schedule today, and I was like, there's three games left? What? Wasn't Halloween, like, yesterday? That's been crazy, dude. But I know we don't normally talk about injuries, but a pretty big one was announced recently as Tampa Bay's Steven Stamkos will be out for 1 to 3 months doctors discovered a blood clot in his arm. Making this story a little more interesting, not from the like injury part of the news, but Stamkos is slated to be an unrestricted free agent in the summer.
Oh, unrestricted, really?
I believe so. So that is going to make things very interesting for what's going to happen with Tampa Bay's captain. Montreal announced that Carey Price and PK Subban will be out for the rest of the season with their particular ailments. With the Habs eliminated from the playoffs, there's no point in having them play again. Risk making things worse. So you let them go and hang out on the golf course and do their thing. Couple of suspensions were announced as Vancouver's Jake Virtanen was suspended for 2 games for interfering with San Jose's Roman Polak. Chicago's Duncan Keith was suspended for 6 games. That's the final 5 games of the regular season and 1 in the playoffs.
Ooh.
For high-sticking Minnesota's Charlie Coyle, so that was rude, and Toronto's Nazem Kadri got 4 games for cross-checking Detroit's Luke Glendening. And finally, Edmonton is playing their final game at Rexall Place as we speak. The Oilers have played there for the past 42 years, some of which were during their glory years. The team plans to move into the brand new Rogers Place next season. That's the news of the past week in the NHL.
Oh, man. Caps, NHL, everybody's staying busy. Lots going on to finish out this regular season. A lot of important games. This is the point where everybody kind of just goes, all right, tonight's the most important game of the year. That's what a lot of those teams are trying to figure out and what they're going to do. Caps are sitting pretty up top, but they definitely got some people on their tail. You know, they got some teams going out for them. If you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can do that. All you have to do is tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find some of my old writings and some great new stuff that's unfortunately not for me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, I'm guessing you haven't gotten any recently. How dare you?
I am planning on getting a special one, not of a hockey player, but in May, the Frederick Keys a Baltimore Oriole minor league team is having Iron Manny Machado. It's a bobblehead of Manny Machado's head on Iron Man's body. And I'm planning on buying that. It's pretty cool looking.
So Machado's just wearing the Iron Man suit?
Yeah, and like instead of like a blaster coming out of his hand.
Wait, it's he a baseball. Can't do that because Cal's Iron Man.
It's very true. That is very true. But this is the comic book.
I don't know if I approve of this.
He's the Iron Bird. Iron Bird. That's who? The Cal Ripken.
He's Iron Man.
He's the Iron Bird because it's his
team. No, that's his team's name. He can't call him the Aberdeen Iron Man because then Marvel's like, excuse me. No, you're not allowed to do that. That's our thing.
We are owned by Disney now and we will sue you.
Yeah. Not okay, Ripken. But yeah, that somehow was CapitalsOutsider.com. We got a little off track there once again. But Brandon, tell me about Brando Cash Entertainment.
Yes, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash, as well as Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, and on Twitter at WTP_podcast. That's what you got to do. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. And we got a lot of stuff planned for the playoffs, guys, so hope you get excited. So make sure you like those pages, follow those pages, and you'll be the first to know whenever we do something cool. And we're doing some pretty cool stuff. I'm not going to lie. I'm probably lying, but I don't care. I don't know any of you people.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right, guys. We do this show for free. You listen, you stream, and you download on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. All of that for free. We do the show for free. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. The playoffs are starting. Get your friends interested in What the Puck, in the Caps. That's what you got to do. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Periscope and anywhere else you're social on the web. I don't know of any other. There's some sort of music video app out there now. I don't know. Just sing about us and let people know about it. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. Coach Dan didn't send me a Snapchat back after I sent him a Snapchat video thing. I'm so confused on how to use it. I still don't get it.
I don't remember you sending me.
Oh, I sent you one, but I hope I did. I don't know. All right, guys, there's 3 games left of this season. We're down to 3. 3 is the loneliest number. Thursday, April 7th, the Capitals are back at home in D.C. up against those pesky Penguins. That game's at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. On Saturday, April 9th, the Capitals are traveling to St. Louis up against the Blues, trying to get something back from that team because they shellacked them last time around. That game's at 8 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet, and it's nationally on the NHL Network. And then on Sunday, April 10th, the Capitals are back home. They're making up a blizzard game. After those 30 inches of snow, we're welcoming in the Anaheim Ducks. That game is at 7:30. That's at Comcast Sportsnet NHL Network in the U.S. And I think, look at this. So the Capitals play in St. Louis, 8 o'clock that night, fly home, have to play that day or that night on Sunday. The Ducks are coming from Denver. Those teams are going to be wiped out.
Yeah, they're not going to give a crap. Well, Anaheim.
Wiped out. All right, so that is pretty much it for the show this week, guys. We are going to do a special segment right here. So if you're not a Walking Dead fan, you can
if you haven't watched the episode yet.
If you haven't watched the season finale, turn us off right now, okay? Because we're
thank you for listening, though.
Yes, thank you so much for listening to us, but this is a puck to the head. This is some Walking Dead talk right now. Coach Dan and I are both big fans. Turn us off right now. We will not get our feelings hurt if you don't like the show or if you haven't watched the finale. Ready? Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Spoiler alert. This is all going to be what's going on. Coach Dan, who did Negan kill?
See, my...
Well, actually, even better than that, before you even answer that, were you one of the people that were really angry about this ending? Because there are some really angry people online.
No, dude, there's really angry people online no matter, like, what we're talking about. There's angry people all the time on the internet. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you haven't, welcome to the internet.
Oh, yeah.
It can be a fun place if you're not a douche.
I'm blocked on a couple different Twitters for no reason at all.
Well, all right, I'll unblock you later, right? But the point is, I thought it was a very good episode. I was a little disappointed we didn't find out, but I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about The Walking Dead. And someone wrote in and was saying that they actually thought it was a really good way to do it because, and I'm going to butcher the way they put it, because they put it very, very eloquently, but that they wanted the fans to be as emotionally invested at the same time as the characters are. So, like, if we see who Negan bashes the hell out of, and then we have now, like, 6 months or whatever it is to sort of deal with it, and then we go back into it in October, it's not going to have the same effect as learning it then when the characters are. So, like, the characters in October are going to be like, oh, God, no, we've lost. And then we're all like, yeah, we know. We've been there. Like, come on, guys, catch up. It's okay now. Like, it is what it is. The guy or girl is over on this show or movie or whatever now. You know, whoever's going to be is going to get work somewhere else. So I think it kind of made sense, but I also feel like they could have shown who it was, and the last shot is just, like, Negan laughing. Or I'm blanking on how it worked in the comics. Basically, they left, and he was just basically, F you guys, and, like, did his thing and walked off. And that could have been the end of it, of just, you know, the last shot could have basically just been Rick staring with that look of defeat on his face. And I credit to the actors, by the way. Like, Jeffrey Dean Morgan was great as Negan. He was. Andrew Lincoln was great. You could see at every time they stopped and saw more of the saviors at each, which, by the way, not a great plan by the saviors. Let's point that out. Like, I get their point of, like, every time they go to the next traffic jam,
right,
the next in the road, the next road blocking, there's more guys. What if they didn't take those particular routes right away?
Well, that was the only routes, right?
Then they go and there's, like, a bunch of them, and then there's less of them, and there's, like, a whole ton of them. Like, it doesn't have the same effect. So really, like, not the best plan they could have come up with. It's not bad, but they could have gone a little better. But, no, I thought everyone's acting, I thought, was amazing. And just to see Rick go from this, like, cocky badass to, holy S, what have I done?
He has been so cocky this entire season. I loved what they've done with Rick. He was, like, ready to take on the world, and he was so confident. He's laying in bed with Michonne.
Now he is screwed.
I haven't seen him this scared since the pilot, of, like, seeing that first dead body in the hospital, half chewed up or whatever.
That thought of, what the hell is going on?
Because, yeah, you see that in his face. Like, he is terrified. He said, holy crap, I've really screwed up. Somebody's going to get hurt because of me and the choices I've done. Andrew Lincoln, amazing job. This may be Rick's best season and his best acted season that Andrew's ever done. It was great. I think that people are complaining because they have to wait. You know what? People just complain, but I feel as if now that we're in this binge-watching type of culture, and every season, like Dexter started off with a villain, ended with that villain dying, and whatever, like that whole season is just its own story. This one's continuing. And I feel as if people are all just angry because they didn't get exactly what they wanted. Wah, I'm not going to watch anymore because you didn't show me who I wanted to see. Blah, blah, blah. It's going to get spoiled for me in August when they film it.
Well, dude, it is going to get spoiled. Like, how the hell are they going to keep that a secret?
Well, with the same way that they're doing it now. Negan...
They haven't filmed yet.
The Jeffrey D. Morgan. That's Jeffrey, right? It's Jeffrey?
Yeah. Jeffrey D. Morgan. I've never seen... not favorite movies, but one of my favorite performances from him, this movie I really enjoyed. It also has Chris Evans, Idris Elba, and a couple other guys. Zoe Saldana, called The Losers. Have you ever seen that?
I have not seen that.
You got to check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's like The A-Team, but like it was better than The A-Team. I like The A-Team movie. But yeah. The Losers is very fun. He plays a leader of this sort of ragtag group of, not mercenaries, but like U.S. soldiers. And it's very funny movie at times and very good. Anyways, so... His performance as Negan was amazing. And I thought it was really clever how they had the whole thing doing his dialogue minus the F-bombs from the comics.
And they're gonna do that on the Blu-ray.
Word at times. Like, his little thing to Carl was what Negan says to Carl in the comics.
And
minus the F-bombs.
They filmed it with the F-bombs in there, and that's going to be on the Blu-ray.
That'll be cool. That'll be cool to see.
Here's the thing, though. Like, the last shot of him with the bat and hitting someone, that was just him alone with a camera guy and a couple lighting guys and the director. So, like, that the death hasn't happened yet.
I do like the memes of he killed the cameraman.
That was good.
Like, well played, internet. That was actually really funny.
So I bet you they do the same thing. I bet you they do the exact same thing.
No one knows except for, like, the showrunner, Scott Greg, Gimple, Kirkman, Gimple, and probably a couple of AMZ execs.
Yeah, and that's it. I think everyone's just angry about that. Everybody complaining too. You know you're watching in October. You're 100% going to be watching in October because you want to see who it was and you want to see how it looks.
I'm just saying there's no way they're going to be able to keep that a secret.
They can try. They really
can. There's no way. Someone's taking a picture on set and being like, that person's missing. They're dead.
I saw the last shot months ago because somebody took video of it on their phone and somebody videoed somebody else's phone. So I saw the shot of Negan hitting someone in the head off of the set. So that did get spoiled for me. But I was like, they're never going to show you who it is until the next season. But anyway, that's my thing. You know, for people like somebody re-edited it on YouTube and show them saying, and you are it. And pointed to Daryl. And he's like, this is the way it should have been shown. That way we know who it was. But the point of view thing, the POV shot, they used it throughout the episode. Remember, it was people in the back of the van. And they kept showing the holes or whatever. So my line of thinking is they did that throughout the entire episode because they were never going to show you who got hit this year. And it has to be somebody in that van because we saw their POV. So it's got to be either Michonne, Daryl, Glenn, or Rosita. And of those four, I'm going with Glenn.
See, I heard that argument, and I think it makes sense. Did you see the thing about someone, like, slow down the audio?
Yes,
and
yeah.
You can hear people. See, here's the thing. I just don't buy that they would allow that to be the case. If only because they don't want people to know who it was, and they haven't filmed it yet. And the actors apparently don't know either.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, to me, is BS. I don't think the slowdown audio is real. The rest of the stuff, my guess. See, if I'm Negan, I'm taking out Abraham.
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you say your part, and then I'll come back.
Okay, so I would say if I'm Negan, I take out Abraham because he tried to stand up to me, so F that noise. And then B, I can't kill Rick because I risk turning him into a martyr. I'm not going to kill Carl because I think he kind of, like, not likes Carl in the SVU kind of way, but, like, he's kind of like, I could kind of turn this kid into someone who's going to be, like, a little badass for me. He's not killing Maggie because, like, as far as he knows, she's going to die anyways. She looked like crap, which is impressive. Props to the makeup crew because Lauren Cohan's hot. And then...
Why did they cut her hair, though? Why would you do that?
Because that's what they did in the comics.
Oh, poor Maggie.
No, so my guess is Abraham because he stood up to him and he needs to knock that S down. And I understand that, like, he wants Abraham to work for him kind of a thing and, like, he needs that big dude. But I don't know if you noticed when they were panning around, he had a whole bunch of dudes that were really big and be playing, like, professional football. So I don't think that's necessary. I think he shut him down because he realized that he is he's the biggest threat physically to him. And then the other my thought is it's Eugene because Eugene – is the brains, even though he's a freaking weirdo, but he's the brains, and he's like, you know what, that guy's too smart, he might find a way to do something that can hurt us, we're going to take him out too. And I think it's Abraham because of all the talk during the episode. He's talking like, they revealed that he and Sasha are bumping uglies, and they're talking about having kids and all that sort of thing, and I was like, all right, he's dead. Like, no one gets to have a nice thing on this show. Like, dead. You know, oh, you want to have a kid? Could die. Unless you're one of the main characters, apparently. Which we don't even know is going to happen with Mackie. So,
I mean,
but no, my guess is Abraham.
You bring up a very good point.
And the Glenn thing I don't buy because they already teased his death almost one time, big time. And the second time they almost killed him again when he finally got back to Alexandria with all the zombies. So I feel like they did it a third time. That's just crappy writing. Like, why continue? Like, oh, well, we kept teasing because we knew it was going to happen. No. And I thought I read somewhere that they were going to do that scene but then have a massive turn and twist and go in a different direction than the comics. So that makes me feel like Glenn is almost safe.
At this point, I feel as if because there was such a backlash of who got hit, I feel as if like they may change their minds and have it not be Glenn, but I feel as if it was Glenn. It's got to be somebody in that van because of the POV shots. I understand what you're saying about Abraham, but I feel as if he wants these people to work for him. So you're not going to have a guy who is really good at being tough. You know,
but the difference is that he used tough to him. You want to beat them down so they'll work for you because they can't do anything else. Abraham was like, screw you, buddy. I'm doing my own thing. Like, if I'm Negan, I'm taking him out because he's the biggest threat. I've got enough big dudes.
It could be Abraham. He's had some of the greatest lines in all of television this season.
he's a bitch nuts.
Yeah.
That was so stupid.
And the biscuit line from a couple seasons ago.
That was good.
And, just some of the best lines. And as he's talking to Sasha about having a baby, it's the shot of him and the sun is setting.
So yeah, I read that too.
That's very symbolic. So it could be Abraham, but I feel as if I got to stick with those POV shots. So if it's not Glenn, it ain't going to be Daryl. I don't care what anybody says. Like
it was almost the POV shots in the beginning because they're like, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Let's just go with that.
it's not going to be Daryl because he makes too much money for the show. So, like, if you want to...
Yeah, people are saying, like, oh, he's got that other show coming out for AMC. And I'm like, guys, he's got downtime.
It's the same network, okay? Like,
yeah, well, it's not just that, but he could easily shoot that in Atlanta. Or, since they have, like, these, like, 4 months off, because, like, a Chandler Riggs who plays Carl, or if you're Andrew Lincoln, Coral, they haven't filmed for months now. So he could be filming his other show right up until he goes back and does the other thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not like these guys have never done stuff outside of The Walking Dead. I mean, Norman Reedus was in a movie that's come out recently or is coming out soon. Yeah, it's a small
Triple
movie.
Nine.
I want to see that, but that's not the one I'm talking about. It's not a different movie, but yeah, good point. I forgot about that one. So like these guys have opportunities to work. I mean, there was a season where Andrew Lincoln was on The Walking Dead and he had like facial hair. And then he went and he played a guest spot for a couple of episodes, I believe, in a Showtime show or Stars or something. And he was like clean shaven. And I was like, well, I hope he grows it back fast because he's got to get back to Atlanta soon.
You got to see Maggie. She was the headliner in her own movie, like a horror movie that came out recently about a doll. Yeah,
that probably shot over their last break.
And she was in Batman v Superman. She was Mrs. Wayne.
Yeah, and it would also find it's spoilers for that. Hey, spoilers, people who haven't seen that movie yet. Batman's parents die.
And Batman's dad is Negan. So Negan.
And I don't know if you ever watched the show, but they're both. I don't think they're ever in any episodes or even any. They're probably episodes, but not in any scenes together. But they both used to be on the show called Supernatural. Still currently on the CW. Very good show. There's a lot of good jokes about that when Negan came out because he played the main character's father, who, if you haven't, I won't spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen the show, even though it was like 10 years ago now. But then she was played a character for, I want to say part of one season, where she had her normal accent and she was even hotter. But that's besides the point.
Oh my God.
So no, I think it's Abraham. I think it's either Abraham or Eugene. That's who I'm going for. I think Glenn, they tease too much to have it. Like that's just, I feel like that's just bad writing.
Yeah.
And Daryl, I almost feel like AMC would be like, no, can't do it.
Half of our audience, all the ladies will leave the show and not watch it.
No, it's not just that, but like,
it's also the TV show.
He already got shot. And the other thing someone brought up is, whoever got hit stays up. Not many of the characters are going to be like, sticking around.
Right.
So
if they want to do a complete cop out, just they can kill off Aaron because
they're not going to do that.
No one really cares about Aaron. Do you care about Aaron? No.
I mean, he's a good character. I like him. I feel like they can get more from him.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for A Puck to the Head Walking Dead talk. Thank you guys so much for sitting with us as we talked about this show. Plenty of
That segment may have been longer than the rest of this episode about the Caps.
It's true. It's very true. All right, guys, that's it for What the Puck this week. Thank you so much for listening to us. Everybody say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.